The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show, hour number two. And we're going to begin, as always, our impact segment, 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. My next guest is a returning guest. He is a co-partner of the firm Tyler and Bursch. He is also a co-founder of Advocates for Faith and Freedom, which is a nonprofit constitutional and religious liberty law firm. Robert Tyler, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show.
It is great to be with you again, Frank.
It's good to hear your voice, and I want to share with you a little information you may or may not know. Obviously, the heart of what we're going to discuss is the idea of private schools being shut down by the governor. And I don't know if you know this, but recently I've been talking about it, and I've invited listeners, anyone of concern, to email me with the information that I've alluded to that we're going to get into. And I've been deluged with people that want to know more information about at least your law firm's position on what the governor has done recently. So my fear was people would start calling your office, and I don't want that necessarily to happen. But thank you for taking the time to be on the program. And I would love to get into the idea of what the governor did a week ago, I think it was today, and private schooling being closed down.
Well, a week ago, what his order was not law. I mean, basically, he came out with a statement that would close public schools. And quite frankly, I'm sitting here. I understand you just said that a new order came out today. Is that right, Frank?
No, you misunderstood me. I was talking about a week ago today.
Oh, okay.
Just the same okay, one we're talking about. And there may have been a new one today. I don't know. To be honest with you, I'm just going to tell you, how do I say this in a very professional way? It's hard for me to watch him anymore with his agenda and what we keep hearing over and over again about closing everything down in a sense. So, no, not as far as I know, but we want to talk about what happened a week ago today.
Yes, okay. He did a press conference earlier today, and I took a quick look at some of the news. I didn't see anything about him announcing a further shutdown to specify private schools. Basically, what happened in his previous order, he's talking about telling public schools, you must close down, and we have the power of the state treasury to prevent you from getting funded if you open up. And so private schools, you know, they don't get state funding. And so it's been our position that, number one, the governor's statement in his press conference is not law. He did say it applies to private and public. However, the actual orders that he's allowed to issue under the state of emergency does not specify that private schools are to be closed. And so we are taking the position that unless there is something in writing that says private schools must close, then it's our position that private schools can stay open and private schools can go ahead and operate and follow the guidelines that are suggested for schools, but open, by all means open. We have heard from so many private schools that are planning on opening that they have their enrollment is increasing. You know, many, many, many parents are seeing the benefits of a private school education. And so that's our position. You know, might the governor come out and try to shut down private schools? It's possible. And when he does do that, should he do that, we are already in the process of preparing a lawsuit to seek an injunction to prevent him from being able to do that to private schools.
Robert, The question it's at the forefront of my mind is, it's a subjective one, but I'd love to hear your feedback. As a litigator, as a lawyer, how much of the struggle for average people when it comes to such things as what we're talking about now is the lack of information to know what our legal rights are? In other words, ask in a different manner, what we heard last Friday, I would suspect scores of people involved in private schools thought, oh my gosh, now we have to stay closed. In other words, how much of the importance of information to know what your rights are comes into play with this discussion?
Well, I can tell you that there is a lot of hide and seek in this whole COVID scenario, with whether it be laws pertaining to, or I should say, rules pertaining to churches or schools. The governor's strategists are doing everything they can to avoid making statements that would, make it more difficult for them to prevail in court. So, for example, like with churches, they will make these statements and they call it guidance. And, you know, we suggest, we recommend, and then there's one statement where it says you must. And then it goes on to say we recommend. And these are in the state's guidelines. And so there's a lot of confusion. And merely out of the confusion, so many churches are not knowing what to do, and so out of fear, they decide, okay, we're just going to close down, we're going to shut down, we're going to comply. It's somewhat of a game, in my opinion. And the same thing happened last week when he was talking about private schools. When he's talking about private schools, he was asked, does this apply to private schools and universities? And he says, yes, it applies to private schools. But the reality of it is there's nothing in the paperwork that actually says it applies to private schools expressly. And the fact is, though, when you looked at the media, all the media reported, it applies to private schools because they're just accepting what the governor said. And the reality of it is either he made a mistake or he was being deceitful. And I don't know which one it was, but I can tell you that it's our legal position that there is no order. There's no effective order preventing private schools from opening. There is one as it relates to public schools, and quite frankly, this coming week we're going to be bringing a pretty significant lawsuit on behalf of some institutions to try to reopen even public schools because the science supports schools being open.
Robert Tyler is my guest. And as it applies to private schools, part of the caveat and a position that needs, I believe, to be reemphasized, part of your position is that private schools are not publicly funded.
That's right.
And so for those that are in positions of decision-making at private schools, they may think right now, listening to this, how is it that I've been so deceived, or how is it that I hear so much about schools are closed as per the governor's orders? And maybe we can spend time, and maybe we'll do it now, the difference between an order, a decree, an executive order, a suggestion. What is law? What is not law?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that. There is, under the California state statutes, there's a provision that basically says in a state of the governor can declare a state of emergency. And when there's a state of emergency, the governor is able to give the authority to the California Director of Public Health to issue orders for purposes of protecting the public health. And so the orders are actually issued by the Director of Public Health. Now, those orders are what are effective as law. Now, it is not necessarily, I don't necessarily agree with all of it, and there can be argument and debate over whether or not the extent of those laws are enforceable or not. But that's the general statutory framework that gives gives the state the authority to shut down. But here's our dilemma that we are in. We are into this, what, for going on 5 months?
Yep.
And the legislature has not been in session since March, as I understand it. And we have a governor who is extending this declaration of emergency, and he is the sole authority in Sacramento issuing all of these orders. And these orders are not necessarily based on science. Now, you'll hear the governor stand up, but and he'll talk about COVID deaths, he'll talk about rates and all of these things. And, you know, what I'm getting from experts that I speak to, physicians who are looking at the information, and for example, there are studies over in Germany as it relates to schools, they've been open, and they're essentially saying that there's virtually no transmission of COVID from students under, I think it's age 10. And in California, there's not been one person under the age of 18 who has died. And I think across the entire United States, there's only 30 people under the age of 18 who have passed away, and they had, as I understand it, underlying or comorbidity issues. And so there's science out there that if our government would open their eyes to see other things, I think that they would realize that the harm done to children by forcing them to be hermits, forcing them to not socialize, preventing them from being able to get an education, what's happening is it's creating significant mental distress. And there's lots of information about suicide on the rise. I think the number was 1,000% increase to the National Suicide Hotline since COVID-19. And you hear about so many of these things where as the economy and unemployment increases, we're going to see suicide increase because of the distress that comes with it. There is a group, there was a study done, I think it's called the Well-Being Trust, Well-Being Trust. And you look that up on Google, you'll find it. And they talk about the fact that suicide could increase, could be up to 156,000 people commit suicide as a result of what happens with COVID-19. And as a result right now, we only have, I think, 140,000 people who have died that have had COVID-19. And when we really look at those numbers, we know that those 140,000 people, a lot of them died from something else. It just so happens that they had COVID-19. And so the numbers are very skewed. And, Google doesn't want us to know about it. The YouTube doesn't want us to know about it. They all shut everything down. And so, you know, there is a big problem right now in society about the lack of readily available information because neither our government nor big tech is wanting us to know about it.
Robert Tyler is with the firm Tyler and Birch, LLP. For those listening right now that are in the private school system, whether in the position of authority or parents, what would you suggest they do as it applies to the main reason why I had you on is that your law firm's position is that private schools all throughout the state of California can resume in-person instruction this coming school year. That's your legal position. What would you suggest they do? Is there a website? Contact you? I'm getting, again, emails from people saying, how can I get more information about this?
Sure. They can contact us at our website. We have is tylerbirsch.com. That's T-Y-L-E-R. Birsch is B as in boy, U-R-S-C-H.com. I'm sure, you know, you have our link to our nonprofit as well, Advocates for Faith and Freedom. They could go, I'm sure, to your website and find us. We are ready to help private schools. And, you know, we can't guarantee that the governor's not going to come out with a new order. Everything changes so quickly. And if he does come out with a new order, though, we are going to very quickly seek an injunction to prevent his order from being enforced because, so many of these schools are the private Christian schools, and we are going to be arguing that this is a severe infringement upon our religious liberty. We have three lawsuits going against the governor right now on behalf of churches. that have been forced to be limited in some way. We filed a lawsuit today, we filed a motion today against the governor for his ban on singing and chanting in church for those who are still allowed to meet indoors in those counties. Most of them are up north now. And so, call us. We're happy to work, especially with the Christian schools. And, man, I just do encourage parents, if it's possible and you're able to have your kids get into a school, it's to their advantage. And this is an important time because even if the governor comes out and issues an order, this is there's a lot of schools, a lot of Christian schools in particular, that just won't be able to operate and function because they don't have the millions of dollars that the governor wants to give to public schools for the so-called distance learning. And, I think that if the governor issues an order and he attempts to shut down private schools, it is my belief that that is nothing more than the California Teachers Association influencing him to try to eliminate private education in California.
Mm. Robert Tyler is with us. Last question. I want to give you a few moments to talk about Advocates for Faith and Freedom. Obviously, that's the heart of a lot of what you do for religious liberty cases. We've had you on talking about all the good work you're doing on the behalf of churches, which we want to invite you to come back on and talk about churches. But share a bit about Advocates for Faith and Freedom, how that began, what the mission is, and how we can get involved and help you, obviously.
Wow, thank you. Thank you so much. We are a nonprofit religious liberty organization, and we take on cases around the country, mostly here in California, though, because we're based here in California, and what happens in California gets exported to the rest of the country. And I've been working in this environment for about 20 years. I can tell you that I have never had the demand placed upon our lawyers like we have today. The demand for our services, for us to bring lawsuits to try to protect our religious liberty, basic liberties like being able to sing in church or to be able to educate your children, to be able to send them for a Christian education or a parochial education or a Jewish education. It's never been under attack like it is today. And some people will say, well, it's COVID-19. It's about this. No, it's not. There is a spiritual attack that is going on right now. And our liberties have never been under such attack, in my opinion, as long as I've been doing this for 20 plus years, but certainly I don't think in the history of our country. And so, we're out there trying to battle. And you asked how people can help. I'll be frank. We need to hire another lawyer. I can't afford to. I don't have enough money in our nonprofit to be able to bring another lawyer on. We need another lawyer. We could use 3, 4, 5 lawyers right now if it were possible. Our website, if people are interested in helping to support us financially, it's faith-freedom.com. That's our nonprofit where we use those funds to be able to hire attorneys, to be able to take on cases. And we do those lawsuits ourselves effectively. And that's what I'm talking about, is actually hiring a lawyer and Advocates for Faith and Freedom. So it's faith-freedom.com. And boy, we could use the support and prayers, especially too, right now. It's a difficult time.
Robert Tyler is with Tyler and Bursch. Two websites, tylerbursch.com, B-U-R-S-C-H, tylerbursch.com, and also, as Robert made mention of, he is a co-founder of the Advocates for Faith and Freedom. Faith-freedom.com is the website. If you go to that website, as it applies to the topic that we've shared most on this interview, the very first thing you'll see is the heading, "Are California's Private Schools Ordered to Stay Closed?" You'll get an enormous amount of information on that site as well, faith-freedom.com. Robert, God bless you, brother. I love you. I'm hoping the listeners will respond, and we need to be very intentional about praying during these trying times, and we pray that When all is said and done, you'll get your resources. We will get victories in Christ above all. But this is a battle, and I think we need to engage and align and become active as followers of Jesus on this one for sure.
Amen, Frank. Thank you for the opportunity to be on your show.
Always a pleasure to hear your voice. God bless you, brother. When I talk about activating, maybe we can share a bit more on the other side, whether it's about our private schools, whether it's about our institutions of churches. These are the times we live, and maybe we'll open the phone lines and talk more about that in the remaining 30 minutes or so in this broadcast. By the way, you can also email me if you miss any part. What was that website? How can I help? FrankSontag@KKLA.com is my email address, and you are always welcomed to go to our website for anything that's broadcast on this program or any programs on this radio station for that matter. You can go to KKLA.com and download the podcast as it applies to this program. Virtually immediately after the program, we put the podcast up in its entirety of this broadcast. So you can find that, obviously, at KKLA.com. 888-528-2557 are the numbers to call into the program. It is a Friday, and we can do a little of Open Phone Friday. On the other side, I've got information I want to share with you and convey to you as well. But if you've got comments, questions, anything and everything, the phone lines are wide open to you at 888-528-2557. You're welcome to call. We'll see about getting you on the air. And again, email address, franksontag@kkla.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us on this Friday afternoon. We've got about 30 minutes remaining in the broadcast. I'm going to try to cover a lot of different areas. And first and foremost, at the top, I want to again invite you to call the program. Fridays, we oftentimes refer to something called Open Phone Friday, where we invite you to call with comments or questions about anything. It's an open phone segment by which we try most Fridays to invite you on the program, save we have guests. So if there's something you want to share, convey, talk about, discuss, debate, anything at all, wide open phones, 888-528-2557. Now, we had Robert Tyler on from Tyler and Bursch. And I want to reiterate, if you are involved in private schools here in Southern California, from parenting all the way up to you are the school principal or main administrator, it's my position that you really need, and obviously most of you are in the process of praying about, are you going to open, are you not? I just want to give you information. The CDC, by the way, says it is vital that schools reopen. Also, the idea that our governor a week ago said that all schools are closed, know your legal rights. Know the difference between laws and edicts and suggestions or whatever's going on here. And you are encouraged to go to faith-freedom.com for the website for more information. To get the best information that you can to make your decisions. I think that's of the essence, faith-freedom.com. Okay, jumping around, I'm a week back from some time off, and I went through a handful of books during that time. I've been trying to read a lot more lately. A book that I'm reading a great deal, almost through, is A Personal Odyssey by the great Thomas Sowell. Well, I think it's 90 or 91. On Twitter last night, I posted a quote from him. I just want to share with you. Thomas Sowell once said, "I don't mind debating smart people. It's debating stupid people that's hard." I want you to just take that for what you will. Last night, speaking of Twitter, I saw there was a trending story about, well, the way the mainstream likes to say what our top infectious disease expert did, throwing out the first pitch at the Washington Nationals opening day game. If you didn't see the video, it's worth watching. I'm just going to leave it alone. Other than MSNBC was reporting before Anthony Fauci threw out the first pitch that he was warming up locally, and they kind of did a big expose, the big buildup. Well, he threw the first pitch out. That's all I'll say. Speaking of baseball, the Dodgers began their season last night against the Giants. Some of you are excited. I don't raise this topic necessarily to talk about baseball, but I want to make mention of a pitcher on the Giants whose name is Sam Coonrod. Now, I don't know if you know who he is. I actually did not know till earlier today of who he is and what he did last night. And for those of you that don't know what he did, I'm going to share a little bit from two different articles. The first one is from, of all websites, TMZ.com. Headline: San Francisco Giants Sam Coonrod refuses to kneel for BLM movement. I'm a Christian, is the headline. Let me read a little bit from that. San Francisco Giants pitcher Sam Coonrod did not kneel with the rest of his teammates in a showing of support for the Black Lives Matter movement, saying his religion and his personal feelings about BLM would not allow him to do it. The 27-year-old relief pitcher said, quote, "I'm a Christian, so I just believe that I cannot kneel before anything besides God." In the article, it says the ceremony went off without a hitch. Players joined together in grabbing the sheet and kneeling. The moment was very powerful. The sheet being a long piece of black fabric to signify unity, according to this article. It says, but later in the evening, when it came time for the Dodgers and Giants to replicate the moment, Coonrod refused to drop to a knee. After the game, he told reporters his religious beliefs made it impossible for him to join in. He also said he didn't believe in some of the things that BLM stands for. Quote, "I just can't get on board with a couple of things I've read about Black Lives Matter. How they lean toward Marxism, and they said some negative things about the nuclear family. I just can't get on board with that," end quote. Coonrod said he meant no ill will by his gesture. He said, quote, "I'm not mad at someone who decides to kneel. I just don't think it's too much to ask that I just get the same respect," end quote. Now, there's a Sports Illustrated story about, well, the same incident, but listen to the spin that, of all places, Sports Illustrated puts out there. It's entitled, "Taking a Stand Against Equality Shouldn't Be Controversial." Now, I think there's some misinformation here. According to this, it says every player and staff member from four Major League Baseball teams took a knee. I don't think that's true. But let me read it to you. Every player, staff member, four major league teams took a knee last night, making a statement about inequality. Every single one of them, except Giants reliever Sam Coonrod. The moment was not a protest. It was a carefully constructed display, coordinated and approved by Major League Baseball. A recorded, uncontroversial message from Morgan Freeman, played over the stadium PA system as the players kneeled and held a black ribbon. This is, by the way, Dan Gartland writes at SI.com. It was as provocative as you would expect a corporately sanctioned statement to be. The Freeman narrative did not mention police or even the phrase Black Lives Matter. The clip amounted to a perfectly reasonable call for equality. Now, I want you to be discerning and listen to kind of the undertone of what Gartland is suggesting and who he, in essence, is, in his view, single-handedly pointing out Coonrod. Listen to this. Coonrod was the only player on the Yankees, Nationals, Dodgers, or Giants to stay on his feet while everyone else knelt. He stood out like a sore thumb. Asked to explain himself after the game, Coonrod cited his religion. Isn't that interesting terminology, asked to explain himself? Explain yourself. Why are you the only one that didn't kneel down? Really? Explain yourself. Well, this is what he said. Quote, I meant no ill will by it. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I'm just a Christian. I believe I cannot kneel before anything but God, Jesus Christ. I chose not to kneel. I feel if I did kneel, I'd be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. End quote. Garland writes, if a central tenet of Christianity is treating others with love and respect, it's not clear how not joining a call for that would be hypocritical. But Coonrod also said he took issue with the substance of the statement. Quote, I can't get on board on a couple of things. We just mentioned that. I've read about Black Lives Matter, how they lean toward Marxism, and said some negative things about the nuclear family. End quote. By the way, you can go to their website. What he's saying is true. They do have Marxist overtones, and they do stand for annihilating the nuclear family. So Garland has to throw his final jab in. Yes, the founders of the organization Black Lives Matter have referred to themselves as trained Marxists. A quote that has spread like wildfire by some attempting to discredit them. But again, the phrase Black Lives Matter wasn't even part of the Freeman clip. Coonrod seems to be missing the point of the ribbon display. It was meant to be an anodyne alternative to actual protest. Even if you believe that kneeling during the national anthem is somehow disrespectful to the military, kneeling during a Morgan Freeman speech gives you another way to show support with risking blowback. And in fact, last night only a handful of Dodgers and Giants were brave enough to kneel during the national anthem. You get that? Finally, he says, luckily for Coonrod, it doesn't sound like his decision will drive a wedge in the clubhouse. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Booker T. Washington once said, a lie doesn't become truth, wrong doesn't become right, and evil doesn't become good just because it's accepted by a majority. Christian brothers and sisters, I don't know if you know who Sam Coonrod was until I made mention, or if you have been following him, but at the very least, we need to keep him in our prayers. And I don't know if he's in social media, but I think this is a brother we need to reach out to and say thank you. Thank you for standing above all for God. 888-528-2557. We have a couple of lines open. More of this in our final segment for the day in the week of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. In our final segment here, I want to begin with one of the most shocking stories I've ever read. I'm not surprised because this is kind of the state of things. But listen to this particular story as reported through ChristianHeadlines.com, which to me is the best resource in terms of online websites for Christian news, ChristianHeadlines.com. Headline reads, "The Satanic Temple Creates the Devil's Advocate Academic Scholarship." The Satanic Temple has created an educational grant called the Devil's Advocate Scholarship for high school students seeking higher education. Let me stop there. If you don't think there's an attack on schools, let alone private schools, I don't know what to tell you. We just did a segment with Robert Tyler from Tyler and Birch about really the importance of our children getting in school, getting a good private Christian education. Listen to this. Malcolm Jarry, the co-founder of the non-theistic group, told CNN why CNN would give them the time of day. We'll let you decide that one. Why anybody would want to watch CNN is another story for another time. Malcolm Jarry said that the scholarship was created after a high school student emailed Jarry requesting a letter of recommendation for a religious scholarship her school was offering. Jarry said, quote, "I was disappointed that she did not receive the scholarship and saw that moment as an opportunity to offer our own scholarship that reflects our values. In addition to promoting our values by honoring those who engage in pro-social, rugged individualism, the scholarship allows students a rare opportunity to be critical of an institution that only rewards sycophantic adulation," end quote. The academic scholarship requires applicants to be 2020 graduates. They must answer one of two questions. Listen to these two questions. First question asks what the student has done to uphold the Satanic Temple's tenets and mission. Second question requires students to, quote, "discuss and describe in detail any one of the teachers who crushed your spirit, undermined your self-confidence, made you hate every minute you were forced to be in school," end quote. This is according to the Satanic Temple's website details. Jarry told CNN, quote, "students are often expected to praise their schools in spite of the fact that many students endure unconscionable abuse at the hands of faculty, administration, and their peers. It's common to hear a successful person talk about a teacher who inspired them, but they never acknowledge that after 13 years of schooling, they were quite fortunate if they came across one," end quote. According to the Satanic Temple's website, its mission is to, quote, "encourage benevolence and empathy, reject tyrannical authority, advocate common sense, oppose injustice, and undertake noble pursuits," end quote. As previously reported through the Christian headlines, the Satanic Temple had threatened to sue the state of Mississippi if the new flag states "In God We Trust." As we talked about on the program yesterday, a new Cato National Survey, we also took an hour of phone calls, finds that self-censorship is on the rise in our country. 62% of Americans say the political climate these days prevents them from saying things they believe because others might find them offensive. Last night, I was praying about this particular survey and our response yesterday, and I will just say this. We live in a great country. We have a First Amendment to share and say what we deem is important. Please do not let the climate today of the narrative that somehow people will be upset or, I'm looking at a photo of Sam Coonrod. I talked about him. Do you think this brother would be standing amongst all the kneelers if he didn't know where his rock was, who his rock is? Christians, we got to stand up here. There's millions of us that are just kind of watching things, and I'm excited about the proposition of in the not-too-distant future, we activate together and start standing firm. God is more willing to speak to us and lead us than my fear is that we're willing to listen and be led. But I would hope and pray that maybe the time is coming soon where we say, okay, enough is enough. Do you understand what I'm saying? Without being really blatant here? And when God is truly leading you, there's a humility and a willingness to yield to Him. Maybe He's already shared with you something. What has God already told you that you're not obeying? Right? The Holy Spirit wants to lead us in something, the way of the cross, self-denial. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The great John Stott once said, Scripture is the royal scepter by which King Jesus rules his church. Are we submitting to King Jesus right now? Are your motives pure? Or are your motives driven by ego or self-preservation or self-promotion? Look at the life of Peter. It's not the way he led his life. The Holy Spirit supplies us strength to resist sin and our sinful natures. In my own life, I ask time and time again to be filled with God's Spirit. I pray that as we close, that you will do that. First and foremost, I think we as followers of Christ, we need to repent. Get right with God. Ask His forgiveness and His mercy. I love driving to work where I'll see a freeway sign on the overpass. Ask Jesus for mercy. We live in a time when the secular mindset is to rebel against God, or somehow we're our own gods. You see what's going on. Christian, let's get right with God. And let's pray like never before. And I pray that God will fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15:13. Christian, where are you? Whether it's in the school system, whether it's in the churches, whether it's in our very communities or our homes, Jesus is calling us. Are we going to heed the call? Are we going to follow His prompts and listen closely for what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us? Stop looking to men. Stop looking to the quote-unquote leaders. God wants to use you right here, right now. He's anointed all of us. Will we heed His call, and will we align as the body of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and engage a world that so needs Him? I do pray that's our prayer together, and I say this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You are welcomed to call me, email me, however I can serve you. If you need prayer, email me at franksontag@kkla.com, and we pray for a blessed weekend. God bless each and every one of you. This is the Frank Sontag Show.